Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. Hey guys, Ian Walker here, Stuff Podcast Show. Back with a new episode. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode this week. I took some time off. I had to mentally. I came back a little bit quicker than I should have, I think, due to expectations and things like that. And that is a learned mistake. I need to take some time to really rest and rest my brain. And that's why for the last, 3 weeks, I think, you haven't gotten an episode from your boy. And so I apologize for the hype. I apologize to you, Irma. Every week she's asking, hey, where's your podcast? Where's your show? Where's your show? I think she's given up on her brother almost. She's like, you're not doing it no more, so I'm done. But it's not true. It's not true. I'm here. This week, though, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to keep the podcast a little bit light this week. This week's episode going to be talking about doing the movie review. On the movie Hobbs and Shaw that I saw in the theater, which is pretty cool. Nice, cool, mind-numbing action movie with The Rock, Idris Elba, and Jason Statham. And so I'm going to do a review on that movie. And I'm also going to talk a little bit more on relationships again. I want to talk about missed opportunities and opportunities we don't take, kind of the fear that surrounds that. And hopefully you guys will enjoy that as well. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started and all this and more on this week's episode of The Stuff Podcast Show. I am an avid Bible reader. And, yes, I know I said I wouldn't talk about religion. And I'm not talking about religion per se. But where I'm going with this is there's a Bible verse that says that critical times hard to deal with will be here. That men and women will be lovers of themselves, haughty, disloyal, and showing no natural affection. Now, if you look at the world around you, those words are scarily accurate. And one of the ways, just going back down on from a social standpoint, is in relationships and cheating. Cheating and lack of loyalty is just, I don't know. What people just, they think it's just a game, a twist or something. They just, like it's a game of solitaire. They do what they got to do and then they just move on. The lack of love for people and for what, and of what you've made the decision to put together as a couple, for people to so easily just throw that out with no sense of loyalty, with no sense of commitment, is terrible. People these days I've just noticed, just have no sense of commitment and loyalty. Loyalty is so rare, which is why I personally admire people who have traits of loyalty, because it's such a rare thing. When you're faced with a problem, you stick with it, you go through it, you know. Now, the minor exception to that, you know, might be, you know, if you're being physically harmed or, you know, where you're not being cared for, provided for, you're being abused emotionally, verbally, whatever the case may be, you know, I still believe you can work through those things, but there's more of an understanding if, you know, you're to separate for a while and work on what needs to be done to keep things together or just stay away from the situation altogether. But what I'm talking about is not that. I'm talking about, you know, a full committed relationship where you guys have vowed or come to an agreement to love each other. And somebody comes along with the right tight shirt on or right pair of yoga pants and just throw it all away. You know, just throw away what you guys have built together. You know, I have a problem with that, you know, and I have a problem with cheating. Now, this is maybe because I speak from personal experience. My last marriage ended in divorce, and emotionally was one of the most difficult times I've ever gone through. I'm not going to go into detail about it because I don't like talking about it really, but I don't feel that I need to. But disloyalty changes you as a person. And especially if you're a person that values those types of things, starts making you see things in a different way. And it's not always a good one. You definitely learn and grow if you allow it to do that for you. But you do change as a person because of the hurt that you feel. This person becomes a part of you. If you're married, this person becomes an extension of you. They're a part of you. And when that's taken away or ripped away, you're half a person. You're not whole. You're not the same. You're not the same at all. So that's why I've always been that type. I've been taught and trained to, you know, work marriage out, make things happen, do the best you can to do everything in your power to keep it together. And that's what I did, you know, until the day my wife came and filed her papers and served me. You know, that's what I wanted to do, you know. So, I can't get the concept, though, of someone just willing to throw things away. And then when children are in the picture as well, I think that is an even more, I'm trying to find the right word. It's one of the most selfish things, you know, because you put the child in a situation now where, you know, they're divided between mother and father. And I'm talking about if you guys are married, you know, between the mother and the father, you know, this child is now being forced to choose. Now, hopefully, you know, it's an amicable breakup, so it'll be a little easier. I've been blessed with having a very amicable situation, so that hasn't been much of a problem. But at the end of the day, the child still has to choose, you know. And it kind of comes down to how much love the child feels that they've received is the determining factor as to whether or not who they'll choose to stick around with, you know. And me being a family man and desiring to have that life, you know, that's something that was really, really hard, you know. People don't understand the emotional toll it takes when children are involved. I mean, you're already in yourself personally messed up. You know, you're still trying to deal and put yourself back together somehow. But now to have a child in the mix, you know, is something else also. And I just encourage, you know, anybody who may be listening and is contemplating this. Love is supposed to be simple. You know, supposed to be simple. And it's a decision. At first, it starts out as a feeling. But then after a while, it becomes a decision and an action. And if you're selfish, I believe if a person is selfish, they're not capable of love, because love requires a conscious decision to continually give and to show love and to grow and to bring joy and happiness to someone else or something other than yourself. And if you're not ready to do that, then you shouldn't be married. You should not be married. You should not be in a relationship, I think, because that's what real growing and thriving relationships are. The growth and happiness and joy. You know, if you can't give that, you shouldn't be in it. That's just me. That's my opinion. I'm very old school. I understand with the way I think. Ian, people don't think like that no more. People want to be free and people want to be, I don't believe in that. No, I'm very traditional in my beliefs. And that's not to knock anyone else, but look at the pain that it causes when you don't follow that, you know? So when it comes to cheating and cheaters, I just feel, you know, it's kind of like a one and done thing, you know? The first time is more emotional, I think. But the second time, that's when it becomes a pattern. It's like, that is what you are in my eyes now, you know? And if you don't do it the second time, you know, when you get into another relationship, eventually, if you get bored, you know, it'll happen again. You'll do it again. They will do it again. Because that is the practice that they use to get out of a situation that they don't want to be in or don't want to work through or to put in work with. Because love and relationships, that's work. That's hard work. But if you're lazy and selfish, cheating's the way out, and it's easy. It's easy. There's a lot of collateral damage, but, you know, it's out. And a lot of people seem to use the easy way out a lot of times, and it's really disturbing. It's terrible. So I have a personal, that's my personal thing with cheating and cheaters and all of that. I think it's a terrible thing. And it's not good for us as a whole, as a society, you know, this lack of loyalty to one's mate or to one's family. Not a good thing. Not at all. So if you guys have any thoughts or comments regarding this subject, I would like to hear them. You know, again, you know, do so with respect, positive or negative. If you think I'm talking crazy at the side of my neck, I want to hear that too. You know, I'm not immune to the criticisms, you know, do so. I would love to hear from you. Again, Instagram would be the best way to catch me. Why? Because I'm always there. That's the best way to talk to a brother. Also on email, stuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. I'm there as well. Love to hear from you guys. Love to hear what you think. All right. Something that always, you know, that I always like to think about sometimes is times in life where, you know, you'll have opportunities and you know, depending on how keen you are and observant you are in certain times of your life, you either grab on and take hold of those opportunities or you just miss out on them completely. I know for me personally, missed opportunities, I've had a lot of those in life. I have a tendency to allow my emotions sometimes to take over. And when my emotions take over, then I start to overthink a lot of things. And when I overthink a lot of things, those times when I'll mess up or I'll miss out on something that could have potentially been very good for me or very good in life. And don't get me wrong, there's sometimes times as well where missing out on opportunity is a good thing, especially when it comes to relationships and dating or marriage or whatever. Sometimes missing those opportunities are good because you see, you know, there's nothing worse and I guess sometimes better depending on how you look at it. When you're scrolling down that Facebook page or Instagram page and, you know, at first, oh, they were so wonderful, so cute, so beautiful. And then, you know, 8 to 12 months later, you know, they divorced or separated or something, or, you know, you find out somebody did something, you're like, oh my God, you know? So, you know, sometimes a missed opportunity is a good opportunity, a blessing in disguise. So I asked the question if anybody ever experienced any missed opportunities in life and didn't get response much, but I thought I'd probably share some of mine. Mostly mine have come from relationships. I've never had a situation in concerns with jobs or things like that. Whenever it came to jobs, I always jumped quick when it came to that. Starting out when I moved back home, you know, every time there was a new job or something, I would do what I needed to do to get on top of that. I wouldn't procrastinate when it came to that. You know, I really went ahead and just tried to work hard and do what I need to do for those things. And you know, if a new job opportunity came up that I knew would be better for me, it would earn me, you know, better money, work towards the goal that I've been working towards, which is on a personal level, me getting, you know, building a family again. If it's something that works towards my goal of accomplishing that, I jump on it, zero hesitation, you know, zero thinking. That's probably one of the times where my emotions do not, I never allow my emotions to get in the way. Now, I do consider certain things, you know, if the job is going to be good for me, if the job is going to be enjoyable, because it does have to be enjoyable. But at the end of the day, you know, I always jump on an opportunity to see, at least job-wise, to see if it's something that will suit me and is something that I can see myself continuously doing as well. From a business standpoint, I think I miss an opportunity when it comes to my artwork a lot of times. I'm business savvy for other people, but not for myself. And I don't know if I'm missing the opportunity or the opportunity just hasn't come in the correct way, in the way of the help that I need. Doing something by myself is extremely difficult. You know, I can either do the business side or I can do the art side. It's very difficult for me to do both. And being a successful artist does require you to do both. And a lot of times, most artists have to be both the businessman and the artist at the same time. And that's a balance that I have a very hard time, balancing and doing, because it's a struggle for me. I need that assistance and that support and help to, you know, get that moving. I need that someone who's going to be like, okay, Ian, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and I'll go ahead and do this, 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 and this. And I just create, deliver it, and boom, that's it. You know, that'd be great if I had that. But the reality is I don't have that. So I have to make do with that. And I think that's where a lot of, missed opportunities and inconsistency sometimes with my artwork come through. And it sucks because I consider myself pretty good with my artwork and what I could do. and concerns with love and relationships, I get missed opportunities in that aspect. More recently in time, you know, I had someone I was interested in. And, you know, the timing wasn't right. You know, she was fresh from a relationship. You know, there were a lot of things that she still needed to work on, things she needed to do. And, you know, I felt that it would have been better for me to back off and let her work out what she needed to work out. And in the meantime, while I was doing that, you know, lo and behold, she ends up in another relationship and is now married. So I'm just like, oh, okay, well, you know, cool, more power to you. You know, I was fully supportive and happy for her, but it sucked because it was a missed opportunity that I think could have been a lot better had I taken the chance and the opportunity when I had it. And, you know, it's something I think about. I mean, I wish her well in everything and all that she's doing and her in a relationship with her husband. You know, I wish him the best. I do hope everything works out. But it's definitely a missed opportunity and chance. And then before her, there was another one where this is one I thought was the one, you know. And it's funny, at the end of the day, you know, realizing that maybe we were good together, but we were not good for each other. And at the end, it probably would have failed, you know. So I'd say this was a missed opportunity that may have indeed been a blessing, because where we wanted to go, you know, compared to where I see her now and compared to where I'm at now, are completely different paths. And, you know, in order for something to work, there has to be some sort of unity and a common goal, I think. And if that's not there, it can become very difficult. You can work through it. I think you can work through anything if you're willing to try. But, you know, in the case of her and I, you know, possibly it was good that that happened. And I had to open my eyes and see that, you know, this was a blessing in its own way. So yeah, those are my situations with missed opportunities and what I have had gone through. I would like to hear you guys' experiences with that. What were your missed opportunities in life? If you guys see me in real life, you know, I'm open, feel free to talk to me and discuss them. Online, hit me up on Instagram, Stuff Podcast Show. Email the Stuff Podcast Show at Gmail. And be glad to talk to you guys about that. Love to hear your thoughts. And I'll put it up again on another episode for What's the Safe Breath segment of the show. So, anyways, hope you guys enjoyed that. Hobbs and Shaw is the newest installment in the Fast and Furious franchise. More of a, I don't want to say installment. It was like a spinoff, actually, of the franchise. Now, I like the Fast and Furious movies. I was more of a fan up until Tokyo Drift, until they started money grabbing everything, you know. Now, apparently, there are 9 stories. It is all one interconnecting story. Okay, maybe when I'm bored on a Saturday or something, I'll sit down and I'll take it in and be like, okay, let me sit down, watch this Fast and Furious from the beginning and see, you know, what this full story is about. But right about now, I was just like, you know what? These Fast and Furious movies were coming out like Land Before Time films, just one after the other. Tokyo Drift. You got, you know, It was just a bunch of them just coming out at the same time, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But Fast Nine or something like that, when the whole crew got back together. It was the one where the whole crew got back together and everybody was there, and The Rock was there as Hobbs, Luke Hobbs. That character was cool. I really enjoyed that character. And right here too, you know, I'm a straight up Dwayne The Rock Johnson fanboy anyways. So, you know, I just love watching The Rock in his movies and everything. He just plays cool characters, and a lot of fun characters. So Hobbs and Shaw was one of those ones where I was just like, okay, when he comes out with his movie, I definitely got to go see it. Jason Statham is also in the film. He's a really cool dude too. I don't think he gets his just desserts as an actor or action star. I mean, unfortunately, the dude puts out, you know, if you out of 10 films, the dude usually puts out like 6 out of those 10 are crap. I don't know if it's his fault. You know, he's just trying to put food on the table, keep the income up. So he takes these crap films like the Crank series. Oh, God. The first one was cool, it was unique. But the second one, it just got a little ridiculous. And it's just like, dude. I remember trying to watch Crank 2, and I just turned it off like 15, 20 minutes in. I was like, this is so stupid. But sometimes Jason Statham will hit him, and when he does, it hits well. Hobbs and Shaw was one of those movies where this was definitely a hit, and the chemistry between The Rock and Jason Statham actually worked really well. You know, it was more realistic. I liked how the two characters polar opposites between each other, but actually the same in so many ways, you know, that dynamic shift. Because that's really why they didn't get along. They were pretty much the same person, personality-wise. Their methods about doing things were different, but all in all, you know, they were pretty much the same person. That's why initially they didn't like each other very much. You know, they both had a huge connection to family and cared about that. They protected and fought for the people that they loved. You know, Jason Statham in the way of his sister, The Rock in the way for his daughter. Both of them were running from pasts that were from a past that had misconstrued them in a way to make themselves out to be bad guys, whether it be to, in the case of Jason Statham, the law, and in the case of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it was his family. Both of them had to, you know, come to terms with those things, and they did in the movie. Now, this is not to say that this is some big old grandiose theme of a story, because I will tell you right now, if you're walking into Hobbs and Shaw thinking you're going to get an epic series or some epic story, you can be sorely disappointed. Okay, it's very cliche. It was very predictable. But if you want to go in for some just straight up mind numbing, funny entertainment, and just a lot of cool stuff happening, this is the movie for you. I had tons of fun watching it. I walked into Hobbs and Shaw expecting zero and came out, you know, having a lot of fun watching the movie. And it was mindless entertainment done right, I think. Mindless action. Now, there's some people who's like, oh, Hobbs and Shaw is cool, but I saw it on Twitter. They said, okay, well, the tweet said, if you guys liked Hobbs and Shaw but hated the G.I. Joe films, I have no respect for you. I completely agree with that statement, because the G.I. Joe films were, again, completely devoid of real story. But G.I. Joe movies, both of them, the original one and Retaliation, both of those movies were straight-up fan service movies. They had no story. that was just a chance to see Cobra Commander on the screen and Storm Shadow and all of them and Snake Eyes on the big screen. You know, that had no purpose to it. So Hobbs and Shaw was kind of like an independent G.I. Joe film. It wasn't G.I. Joe, but it was like, you know, its own deal with that. And The Rock was in a G.I. Joe film, too. He's in Retaliation. I think he was Roadblock, I believe he was. So, yeah, I mean, this rolls up in there with those. I recommend the movie. You know, it's a cool, you know what it is? It's actually a cool date night movie. Honestly, I really think I would take, if I wasn't single, I would take my girl to go see Hobbs and Shaw. Just be like, hey, babe, let's just blow some money. Let's go to a movie. We ain't even got to pay attention to it. But there's some cool scenes. The girl in the movie, actually, she kicked butt. She was really cool. I was actually impressed with that. She was no damsel. They play the way I like the way they did the damsel thing. She was somebody that was fully capable, could completely take care of herself. Didn't really, on a physical level, need her brother and The Rock to protect her. Not on a physical level, okay? She was extremely resourceful. But on an emotional level, she did need them. And The Rock and Jason Statham's characters gave that to her in her character. She had the love of her brother, and she now had, you know, the love of, you know, Lucas Hobbs, who, you know, they became love interest. And it was cool because they didn't dwell on that the whole movie. They didn't have no unnecessary sex scene. They just had one moment in the movie where it said everything they needed to say. And it was great. It was awesome. It was done very well and very tastefully. I liked it. And I can say that that's one thing that they pulled off. They brought an element to the movie in regard to the damsel in distress that I had never seen before. And I thought was pretty original and actually really worked. So this movie's theme, all in all, is really a family themed film in the background. The relationship of Jason Statham and his sister, how they got along and their mother, you know, they're strained, family dynamic for a time. And, you know, Shaw and his sister had broken apart because of lies that were told. And he's had to live without his sister and mainly take care of himself, you know, the whole time. And there was a reconciliation there. And they had to work to bring their family together. In concerns with The Rock's character, Luke Hobbs, you know, he was running from his family. He was running from his past. And ended up having a daughter of his own, who was curious about who she was and everything. And, you know, he had to come to terms with that and face it and confront his family again and not run from those demons that he was, you know, trying to run from, the guilt that he faced, that he went through in regard to his family. Really awesome. Very cool. Idris Elba played the film's villain, Brixton, who had a past with Shaw, and he did a dynamic job. He did really, really good. Idris Elba really makes a very cool villain. He has a swag to him that's kind of like very no nonsense when he plays a villain. It's never anything diabolical or anything, you know, corny. I noticed that when he plays villainous characters, his characters always have a solid motivation for doing what they're doing. And now that's not to say that, you know, again, Hobbs and Shaw has tons of story where it's like this deep, deep motivation. But this is he played a villain that had a compelling reason for doing what he was doing. and the connection that he had with Shaw, you know, helped him to solidify that and become more engrossed in it, you know, and not realizing that he was a puppet behind the real puppet master of this whole thing. And it was really neat as well. You know, I'm not going to spoil it, but in the movie, in the trailers, they portray Idris Elba as one thing, but in the movie, it's a different thing. And you guys will maybe pick up on that if you guys take the time to go see the movie. But either way, Idris Elba as Brixton did a great job. He was really cool, really cool character, and just a fun villain. You know, this is a guy that got stuff done, period, end of story. And I like villains like that. You know, he didn't take the time monologuing about what he was going to do and all of that. You know, it was just made apparent by his actions. And this, he was a villain of action. And that's what I liked about Idris Elba's role in this film. So that's another thing that I appreciated. Another big plus for this film, there were quite a few cameos from some side characters, comedians. Ryan Reynolds. That dude is hilarious. He showed up in the movie. Kevin Hart showed up in the movie as well. Again, not going to tell you their roles, but, you know, it really helped bring on the funny. And I think this was used wisely as well to balance out the action and everything. Because between Jason Statham and The Rock, it would get fun. And they would be, I mean, they were funny dudes. But getting real comedians in there to kind of mix it up as well and take away attention for a moment gave the film, in my opinion, the balance of funny that wasn't too groanable. And what I mean by that is, you know how when characters try to be funny through the whole film and too funny, it just doesn't work. It's like they're trying too hard, you know. I think the director really made a good call when he brought in those two comedians, Ryan Reynolds and Kevin Hart, in to take that burden off of the main characters for a time. It was smart. I mean, and so much so, they did so good that you ended up, you know, liking these side characters also. And that was cool. It was really cool. So, like I said, Hobbs and Shaw is a movie I definitely recommend to go take your girl to see. You know, nice hanging out film. Don't go in expecting anything huge and grandiose. Just go in there expecting some mind-numbing, cool, awesome action and a neat perspective on the basic tropes in film and cinema, you know, the storylines of film and cinema. They took very basic tropes and tweaked them a little bit to make them, you know, pretty cool, you know. So so I definitely recommend it. Put it on your calendar, go check it out, the movies, and enjoy yourself. And ladies, if you like watching The Rock, trust me, you got that all through the movie, as well as a bunch of buff Samoan men too, if you down into that as well. Yeah, y'all definitely got some eye candy to look at. So, you know, you gotta, you know, if you want to get your girl to go see Hobbs and Shaw, just be like, hey, babe, The Rock's got a shirt off. And there's a scene with a bunch of Samoan men with their shirts off too. You know, you want to go see it? She might be down. She might be down. She might be down. Anyways, I rate this movie definitely out of 10. I rate this movie a solid 8. You know, and again, only an 8 because, you know, there was no huge story behind it. But it really met up to everything that that's expected in an action film. It was fun. It was gritty at some points. The characters were great, and the way they took basic storyline tropes were just, it was just very well done. And I'm definitely down to see the next one if they decide to continue on with the franchise between Hobbs and Shaw. Really, really cool. Really cool movie. Go check it out. Hope you guys like it.
Hey everyone, this is Ian Walker again. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode this week. Thank you so much for listening, for paying attention and taking time out of your day to listen to my podcast. I love you all very much for that. I always appreciate the support, the love, the feedback, all of it. And I constantly encourage it, and I definitely want more of it. As long as you're respectful, it's the only thing I'm asking for. Just show some respect. But I need feedback because I want to know what you guys want to listen to. If there's anything that you guys want me to talk about, if there's subjects that are near and dear to you that you want me to discuss, please do not hesitate to send me an email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of me on Instagram. I'm very good at Instagram, believe it or not. I respond to everyone who sends me a message. I respond to all the comments there. I do real good. Be proud. You know, if I wasn't doing podcasts, I'd probably be like a social media manager or something. You know, I feel like I'm that legit. Anyway, real talk. You can contact me there. I will be very quick to get back to you. I will take all of your questions, your comments, any considerations that you have. If you want to shout out friends or do anything like that as well, I'll put you in my segment, which is Think Breath, and talk about your comments there as well. I would really, really love to get more voices on the show, get more opinions on the show, and stuff on just how you feel. You know, I'm very, again, like I said before, super excited about season 4 because I've got a lot coming down the pipeline. 22 seasons, what I did last season. I'm hoping to meet that same exact goal, but I can't do it without you guys. And so, if there's anything, once again, if there's anything you want me to talk about, please do so. Spread the word. Tell your friends and family. If they've never heard of a podcast, this stuff is a great beginning podcast to listen to. It's family friendly. Everyone can benefit from it or just have fun listening to it. You know, whatever the case may be. Would love to get more in the community. So, again, thank you guys so much for listening. And I am looking forward to having an amazing season 4. And, doing more with you guys. So, in the words of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. Yes, that was corny. I don't know why I said that, but I just felt, it just felt right. It felt good in spirit. Okay? And I let it sizzle there. Just let it sizzle in spirit. Anyway, so, thank you again so much, guys, and I'll talk to you later, and I will see you next week on the Stuff Podcast Show.